going to talk about an interesting feller today. I tell you what, I need some of what he had. Strength. Amen. Judges 13, going to talk about Samson today. Talk about the mighty have fallen. You know, you can be strong, energetic, being able to go about doing the things you want to do. But did you know, suddenly you can lose your strength, your energy. I can talk about it now because I've been through all that. Judges 13, let's look at verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again. Listen to that. Again. In the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. When you disobey the Lord, you're going to pay the price. Amen? That's what he says. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. She couldn't have children. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee. He's fixed to give her some advice. Drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto the Lord, unto God, from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Now, at this time in the life of the Jewish people, they kept having judges appointed by God for them to rule over them just before they got kings. And Samson is going to be a judge too. He's going to be like a deliverer for the Israelite people against their enemies. God is going to use Samson that way. Samson, I guess never has a man had greater opportunity to serve God than Samson did. Just think about it. Gifted with incredible strength. So he could defeat the enemies of God and Israel, yet he failed most miserably. Had the greatest opportunity, but he failed. He failed. His love and passion for the wrong kind of women led to his downfall. His choice for women were those forbidden by God. None of them were Jewish, but worshipers of idols. Think about that now. Samson was a Jew. He had instruction from the Lord on how to live. And yet, from his youth, he does the opposite. How sad that a man will waste his life chasing after those that know not the true God. After all, Samson was a Nazarite. He knew better. Yet he broke many rules of the Nazarite vow that he was under. God gifted Samson with incredible strength when he needed it, but he lost his strength when he told the secret of his strength to the wrong woman. Let me tell you, folks, the devil is shrewd. The devil is shrewd. He'll lead you to the wrong person. Samson's incredible strength was greater than even the strongest of men could develop in their own bodies today, working out in their gyms. We see men who spend hours in a gym lifting weights so they might develop all the muscles of their bodies to their fullest, like Schwarzenegger, who became so popular with his fully developed body. But today it's not that developed anymore. He's getting old. Amen. Yeah. We see men who spend many hours in a gym lifting weights, developing their body, but nothing says Samson was such a person. He might have been as skinny as Barney Fife. Amen. In fact, Vernon McGee says that's what he thinks, that he was as skinny as a bean pole. And that's the reason the Philistines didn't realize he was so strong, because he didn't look like it. Yeah. His strength, though, was not so much in his muscles, but came from God. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon Samson, and he could achieve incredible things in defeating the enemies of Israel. And if you want an interesting read, just read that whole section about Samson. There's not many pages there, but it's very interesting to read about his life. Samson is seen as a hero. We think about he's a hero. He was so strong. He had every advantage as a boy. That's what's wrong with a lot of children even today. Children are babied. Given everything they wanted, it spoils them. Samson may have been a little spoiled. He was the only child, and he was a Nazarite. He was dedicated to God, and he experienced the power of God's Spirit as a young man. But it was when he began to chase after the wrong women and dishonored his Nazarite vow, his life began to fall apart. Sin always has bad consequences, and sin will lead to a bad day. The wages of sin is death, and even Samson would experience it. You can't get by with sin. There's going to come payday. God's plan for Samson would require physical strength. That would be his ministry. The Lord made a covenant with Samson that as long as he obeyed the Lord, he'd be physically strong. With Samson, that as long as Samson's long hair would be a sign of this covenant with God. And the secret to his strength, long hair. In the New Testament, it tells us that long hair is a shame. Men shouldn't have long hair. But back then, God used that with Samson as a sign. Judges 13:4-5, "Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, don't you drink any wine or strong drink, Samson, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He's set apart for God's use. Now live a separated life, Samson. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. God wanted to use Samson to defeat those Philistines who were the avowed enemy of Israel. And boy, were they a avowed enemy. But Samson disregarded what God said. Does that sound like us, folks? We went to church growing up and we heard the preacher preach, the Sunday school teacher teach. But are we doing what the Word of God said? In our youth, we're prone to do what I want, don't we, folks? Be honest. Well, he disregarded, and it would lead to the sad demise of the world's strongest man. Samson was dedicated as a Nazarite, a holy man, who was to honor God with his life and provide an example for others. And as Christian people, when we get saved, we're supposed to be an example to others. The Lord has changed my life. The Lord has forgiven me of my sin. I'm to live different. I'm to go to church, read my Bible, obey the Lord. Do we? We're supposed to. We're supposed to. You know, folks, the Bible means what it says and says what it means. And somehow we want to think we can cheat a little bit, get by. You won't. You won't. God won't let us get by. At some point, God's going to deal with us. You can't get by with sin. You won't get by with it. So Samson was to use his physical strength to fight Israel's enemies. And he would be a judge for Israel for 20 years. He held that job for 20 years. As strong as Samson was, we must remember his strength came from God. God bless him with this incredible gift. Without God, he was only as strong as any other guy. We will see Samson's life reveal how God can use human imperfection to fulfill his purposes, though. All of us as believers in Jesus are called to live a holy life. Live for the Lord. I'm a son of God now. I'm a daughter of God now. I'm to live following Jesus now. Amen? Aren't we to live following Jesus? He's our example. He said, follow me. Take up your cross. The Christian life won't be easy. You're going to have problems. I'm going to have problems, even if you live right. Because Satan's going to come against us, church. Because Satan hates us. He don't care for a single one of us. Because we left him for Jesus. He don't like that. And he's going to make our life miserable at times. But folks, we got to keep the faith. We got to keep trusting the Lord. We got to keep living for the Lord. We got to stay on the straight and narrow path, folks. Live by the word of the Lord. That's why God gave us the Bible. Live by it. Live by it. Samson's name means the sun. He was the shine. You and I also are to be the light of the world now, because Jesus has saved us. He's revealed to us his saving grace. The meaning of Nazarite means to be separated. He was to be separated to live for God. And he was not to eat or drink certain things because God told him not to eat certain things. That's why. Amen? Nazarites had almost the same meaning with the word holy, which means sanctified. When you and I were saved, we were sanctified. That means set apart. We're holy unto the Lord. The Bible says we're sanctified by God. We're sanctified by Jesus. We're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We're sanctified by the Word of God. And the Bible says for us to sanctify ourselves. We're to set ourselves apart. I belong to Jesus. And I'm not to engage in sin. Oh, how I fail. I bet you fail too. Amen. Thank God we can repent and be forgiven. Thank God for the cleansing of the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like Samson, we're all called to be separated from this world's way of life. This world is headed for hell and judgment because they reject the Word of God. It's hated. It's despised. It convicts them, condemns them. They think we think we're better than they. We don't think we're better than they. We think we know we've been saved by the grace of God because we were just like them. Amen? Because we used to be one of them. Amen? Like Samson, we're called to be separated from this world's way of life. Don't live like the world. Don't live like the world. The world's already condemned. In a spiritual sense, we must all be Nazarites, consecrated, separated for God's purpose. And the Nazarite vow is compared to our baptism, signifying our commitment to the Lord. When you were saved, you're next supposed to be baptized, and I believe by immersion, that's the way Jesus was baptized, go down into a watery grave. It's symbolic of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Savior. It's a picture of that when we're baptized. And I tell you, when I was baptized, it gave me some kind of a peace that, I mean, it blessed me to know I did what the Lord said to get done. Be baptized after I got saved. You get baptized after you're saved. You got to get saved first by repenting of your sin and trust in Jesus as your Savior, then you should present yourself to a Bible church and be baptized. And I mean by immersion. A lot of folks are getting sprinkled. Well, that's between them and the Lord. I got it the way the Lord said myself. Right down there in that little old creek, and all the fish, well, they didn't die, but I want to say they died. Amen. God can use us even when we fail, though, church. We're not perfect, even though we've been saved. We're none perfect. No, we're not. Though Samson is known to be the strongest man, he had his weaknesses. His greatest weakness was women. A lot of us men have that problem, don't we? Amen? Women. Yeah. And the problem is, a lot of times the wrong women, the wrong kind of women. Soon after his decision, his greatest weakness, I said, was women. And because of this, he was continually in trouble. Samson's first mistake was when he decided to marry a Philistine woman in Timnah. Think about this. He was going to marry a woman that was one of the enemies of Israel. Can y'all imagine that? And he was always doing that. And him, a Nazarite, raised up in a God-fearing home. That's what breaks our hearts, to see children raised up in a God-fearing home, and then they go out and embarrass their parents. Live like they'd been raised in a heathen home. That's bad, isn't it, folks? Yeah. I know Mom and Daddy had a favorite preacher. He was an evangelist at first, and then he became a pastor. And boy, they just loved that preacher. But he had the meanest young'uns in the world. Amen? And a lot of times I've heard it said about preachers, their children are the meanest. Are you the meanest one, Ted? No, she's the sweetest little thing in the world. Amen. 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 Prior to the wedding of this young woman that Samson was chasing after, he gave a riddle. He was going to throw a big party, invited a crowd of people to come, Philistine people to come. And he gave a riddle. And Samson's bride was threatened by men, the Philistines, if you don't find out the answer to that riddle, we're going to kill you and your father. And for 7 days she pestered Samson, what's the riddle? What's the answer to your riddle? And she just kept it up, aggravating Samson. He wouldn't tell her. And finally, on the day that there was the light of the wedding, he finally told her the secret. And that woman went and told Samson's enemies the secret. And the riddle was, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. He got that riddle because years earlier he'd killed a lion with his bare hands, and then bees got in it and made honey later. And he walked by it one day, and he saw that honey in that old skeleton of that I forgot what it was, lion, whatever it was he killed. And he scooped it up and ate it. And so he made a riddle out of that. Anyway, when he had to pay those men that he had pledged 30 changes of clothes, he went out and killed 30 men just to get their changes of clothes to pay off his debt. That's the kind of careless, reckless way Samson lived as a Nazarite, folks. And it wasn't going over too good. When the men told Samson the answer, he went out and killed 30 men to pay off his debt. And Samson was betrayed by his wife-to-be. And this led Samson to initially kill these men. And then you know what he did later? He went and caught him 300 foxes, tied them together by two, and set their tails afire, and turned them loose in the wheat fields, and burned up all the Philistines' corn and rye and wheat and whatever they had. Boy, that created another problem. And with this kind of situation, the Philistines, they sought revenge on Samson. So he's continually in trouble. Why? He's not listening to God. He's not listening to God. He's staying in trouble. If he'd have been listening to God, he wouldn't be having these problems, folks. That's the way it is with us today. If we listen to God, a lot of our problems wouldn't exist. And so, 1,000 people came against Samson as out of all this
exploits that he'd gone through with this girl that was a Philistine he was going to marry that he never did get to marry, because she got killed, burned up. He found a new jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey, folks. That was a fighting rascal, weren't he? Killed 1,000 people, folks, soldiers, with the jawbone of a donkey. You know, you're free to choose. You can listen to the Lord or not. The results, you'll have to pay the consequences. You'll have to pay the consequences. Yeah, you're free to make your choice. God made you a free moral agent. You're not a robot. You can choose what you want to do. You can consider this book and live by it, or you can ignore it and do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, go ahead. But there's consequences. They're going to show up somewhere or another. They're going to show up, the consequences, according to the Bible, and I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. If you choose to break the law of God, bad consequences will follow. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Bible says, choose a mate of faith. We're supposed to choose somebody that's saved when we get married, or we're going to get married. If we're a Christian, we should choose another believer. You're not at liberty to go marry whoever you want. You're supposed to marry a Christian person. It'll save a lot of heartaches. Because a person that's not a Christian wants to run up and down the world. Their values are not your values. I've seen it time after time. Time after time. Christian people want to go marry somebody that's not a Christian. Why? The devil does it. The devil deceives people. Oh, I can win him to the Lord. You won't either. He'll get you out of church or vice versa. He really will. Be not unequally yoked together, the Word of God says, with unbelievers. Christians, you hear that? Well, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6:14. Paul taught the church at Corinth. Don't you marry an unbeliever. We've seen it in the life of Samson, the tragic consequences of his decisions. Every time he wanted a woman, it was an unsaved woman. Unsaved woman. He decided to choose a mate from the land of Tibmah, a woman from the daughters of the Philistines, the enemies of Israel of all things. Yeah, and the parents of Samson told him, they said, don't do that, Samson. You know better. He paid no attention. Mom and dad squares. Amen. Yeah. Here's what they said to Samson, his parents. Is there not a woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all of my people that you must go and get a wife from? Uncircumcised Philistines? You don't need to get a woman from your wife from the Philistines. They're our enemies. Look at our own people and select someone to love. No, not Samson. I want that one. That one there is for me. Amen? Yeah. Samson made up his mind, but the marriage of Samson and the Philistine woman didn't ever happen. Instead, Samson found himself hated by the Philistines. After 20 years, Samson did not learn from the past and committed the same mistake. One day Samson went to Gaza. Listen to this. And he saw a harlot. A harlot. And Samson did not want to get married. Instead, he immediately went in unto her. He didn't want to marry. He just wanted a night stand. A one night stand. Remember, Samson is a man of God. And here he is going to see a harlot one night. Boy, we got a lot of that going on today. In 1 Corinthians 6:15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith, he shall be one flesh. Christian people aren't supposed to have a relationship with someone that's not saved. And out of wedlock on top of that. Oh, payday is a-coming. Choosing a mate is a life-changing experience that should not be based on our will, but God's will. Later, Samson loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. The cutting of Samson's hair is not the reason for his strength. His strength was from the Lord, and his hair signifies his faithfulness to the commitment made to God. But he is going to fall for this woman that's going to ruin his life, folks. You see, folks, you can just keep right on at it till it destroys you. You can just keep right on playing with fire, and you're going to get burnt. You're going to get burnt. It came to pass, the Bible says in Judges 16:16, when Delilah pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come on a razor upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak like any other man. Solomon was known for his strength. And so some Philistines approached Delilah, who Samson was seeing, and they made her an offer. They would give her a pile of gold, each one of them, if she could find out what made him so strong. You know, I told you earlier, Samson didn't look all that strong. He probably looked like Barney Fife. But when the Lord's Spirit came on him, I mean, he could do whatever needed to be done. And so Delilah just kept after Samson. Samson, what makes you so strong? Oh, he had himself tied with vines, and he had himself tied with ropes. He had all these things done, and every time she would say, the Philistines are on you, Samson, he'd break them, and boy, he'd get loose. And boy, it just worried her to death. He wouldn't tell her the truth of his strength. Nothing would bind him. And she kept right on nagging till finally one last nag, and Samson said, it's my hair. It's a sign of my strength. He poured out his heart. And you know what? He laid his head in her lap. He went to sleep. And she said to some Philistine, come cut it. And he come and whacked his hair off. And then she hollered, "Samson, the Philistines are on you." He jumped up, but he didn't have no strength. Just like that, his strength was gone. He had tested God too long. He had disobeyed too long, and the day came. And guess what happened, church? The Philistines captured him. He was helpless. Remember, before he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Now he couldn't even defend himself. And you know what they did? They gouged his eyes out. I could almost feel that myself. Gouged the man's eyes out, folks. And chained him. Took him down to their prison house. And they made him grind at the mill. Instead of using a donkey, they used Samson. This was the man of God, church, who didn't respect his vows to God. And look what happened to him. If only Samson had listened to his parents, he could have saved himself a lot of pain and suffering. If he would only listen to God, we would save ourselves a lot of heartaches and troubles. Folks, I'm just telling you what the Bible says about a man that was a Nazarite, set apart for God. And if you're saved, you're set apart for God. And we're to live holy too. We're to live holy too. This story is in the Bible for us to learn. It's better to obey God than to experience the pain and the disappointment of a defeated life by our enemies. We must not let our unstable emotions get the best of us. Marrying outside the faith is costly, and going against the direct instructions of the Bible. We should use the strength God gives us for the Lord, to serve the Lord, church. Most people think Samson is the strongest man in the Bible, but this is only partly true. He had the strength to tear a lion in half. He could kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey, but he could not control his desire for the wrong kind of women. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Some cannot control the use of alcohol. Some men can't control their use of drugs. Some can't control their desire for pleasure. We're not to let anything entangle us to keep us from disobeying the Lord, folks. Given the opportunity to be used of God, Samson failed. He could have had the greatest testimony of a man in the Bible, but he failed. And the last time we see him, he's in prison with the Philistines, the enemies of God, that God had raised him up to kill them. In Judges 16, the lords of the Pharisees gathered themselves together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God." See there how Jehovah God was replaced with the glory that he should have got. They were praising a false god. "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that we may make us sport. Think about that. They're going to put him out, make fun of him now. And they called for this blind man, Samson, out of the prison house, and they made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. There was two great big pillars that helped hold up the Colosseum. And the bottom part of that huge Colosseum was packed with people. And then on top of it was 3,000 more people. Poor old Samson, blind, was led out, and they made fun of him as they praised their god, an idol. And Samson said to the one that led him out, let me lean up on the pillars. I guess the guy didn't think nothing about it. The Bible said Samson's hair had already begun to grow back out again. Ooh, somebody weren't thinking. Somebody wasn't thinking about Samson's God. And Samson leaned on that. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel those pillars whereon the house standeth. They were the main pillars now, folks, that I might lean on them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. All the hot shots was gathered together. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. On top of the thing was 3,000. The bottom was even more people down under there, you know. And Samson called unto the Lord. Listen, Samson, this is the first time we find Samson's going to pray. Think about this. He's the man of God, and we finally, after 20 years of being a judge, he's going to pray that we have a record of. He says, Lord, oh Lord God, remember me. I want to tell you something. Can I tell y'all something? If you'll humble yourself, I don't care what you've done. If you'll humble yourself, God will forgive you. That's the kind of God he is, Brother Chavis. I don't care what you've done. If you'll just humble yourself and mean it and cry to God, he'll forgive you. And he'll forgive you right then. He'll cleanse you right then. He'll bless you right then. I believe it. I believe it. He said, Lord, remember me and strengthen me. I pray thee this once, Lord, just one more time, Lord, that I may at once avenge of the Philistines for my two eyes. It was a selfish prayer. Jesus didn't pray like that when he was on the cross. No. He said to them, Father, forgive them. But Samson wanted to be avenged. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was bore up. That's what held that building up. One with the right hand and one with the left. And Samson said, let me die with these Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. Can y'all imagine all those rocks, stones come tumbling down on top of people, crushing them, squishing them? My goodness. I tell you what, folks, you better not mess with God. You better not mess with God. So the dead which he slew in his death was more than which he slew in his life.
Samson. While Samson lived a very selfish life, yet God used him in destroying many of the Philistines who were the enemies of God's people. In the book of Hebrews, Samson is even listed among those of faith. You wouldn't think it the way he lived. Hebrews 11:32, let me share it with you as we close today. What shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David and Daniel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. So even old Samson is mentioned in the book of Hebrews as a man of faith. Folks, you've been saved. You're to live like you're saved. You're to live holy unto the Lord. You want the Lord to bless your life. You want the Lord to use your life. You want to honor the Lord that would save you, a sinner. We're all sinners. We're all in the same situation. But God has forgiven us. We're no longer viewed as sinners. We're viewed as sons and daughters of God now. We got to act like it. We got to live like it. So God can bless us and use us. And it gives God glory. If we don't live right, our God is mocked by the world. Yeah, we got to be careful how we live. Our testimony is important. And so today, on this Lord's Day, as we gather here, let's remember who we are. If you're not saved, today's the day to get saved, the Bible says. Today's the day of salvation. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. He's paid for the sins of every person that would ever live. Their sins is already paid for. All they got to do is accept it, claim it. Say, Lord, I'm that sinner that you died for. I want you to save me. He'll save you if you mean it. Just like that, just like Samson. Oh, he was in a mess. But he cried out to the Lord, oh Lord, remember me. You got problems today, troubles today? Just cry out to the Lord from the bottom of your heart, Lord, remember me. Remember me. That's what I do. Lord, remember me. I'm little, I'm helpless, I'm needy, Lord. You're my mighty God, my Savior, my hope, my life. As we stand together this morning, let's stand. Let's stand together. Is there someone that needs to trust Christ today? We give you that opportunity to come. If there's someone that wants to come to the altar, talk to the Lord, and just do like Samson, Lord.